So as we come to Revelation chapter 12, we come to what many consider to be the heart of the book. Here's the point in the Great Tribulation when everything turns toward Israel. And Israel, since it's so critical to the Bible, the whole program of God, it's only logical to assume that Satan would hate Jews. He would wage war against the Jews and seek to destroy them. He's always hated Israel, always tried to destroy Israel. And during the Great Tribulation, he's going to intensify his efforts, but he will not succeed because God won't let him succeed. And so we see in these verses, these first six verses here, that there's a panoramic overview of Satan's hatred of Christ, of God, of Israel, and any anti-Semitism that hates Israel is satanic. And so we're introduced to this woman, and so we see, number one, the personality of this woman. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. And a great sign, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. The sign here relates to Israel. The first sign is called a great sign, or as it reads literally in Greek, a mega sign. This will be a mega sign in heaven in terms of external literal size and measurement. We believe this will be seen visible in the heaven by virtue of the fact that the sign is mentioned along with the sun, moon, and stars. So we suspect this sign will appear. And the sign is designed to show that Israel is the great nation of God in heaven, and Israel is the great nation of God on earth. Although this nation appears to be least esteemed on this earth, it is most esteemed in heaven. And we learn that the sign is a woman who's clothed with the sun and the moon, and on her head is a crown of 12 stars. This imagery comes right out of the book of Genesis, the dream of Joseph. That dream, the sun was Jacob, the moon was Rachel, the stars were the 11 brothers of Joseph, or 11 tribes of Israel. In fact, Jacob, Joseph's father, actually gave the interpretation of the dream in Genesis 27:10. And in that interpretation, he saw the Jewish family bowing down to Joseph. You see, the sign in heaven will lead the nations of the world bowing down before Israel. So this imagery in Revelation is clearly connected to Israel from the book of Genesis. The sun, moon, stars are the majestic planets that have been created by God that display the glory of God. Israel is a majestic nation created by God. She is to reflect the glory of God. Even though it's not been much of a reflection of God's glory lately, there will come a time in the future when Israel will reflect that glory. And in verse 2, we learn that this woman was with child, is about to give birth to him. We learn from verse 5 that this was a son. So the question here is, who is this woman and who is this son? Well, from Isaiah 9:6, which says, a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. We learn that the us is a reference to Israel. The image of verse 2 is that prelude to the birth of the son. It's very intense, long, painful, difficult pregnancy, labor. Prophet Israel predicted that giving birth to his son for Israel would be a long, painful process. Isaiah wrote this. He said, as the pregnant woman approaches the time to give birth, she writhes and cries out in her labor pains. Thus were we before you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed in labor, we gave birth, as it seems, only to wind. We could not accomplish deliverance for the earth, nor were inhabitants of the world born. Clearly, Isaiah connects this to Israel. And then Jeremiah wrote, for I heard a cry as of a woman in labor, the anguish as of one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, gasping for breath, stretching out her hands, saying, as woe is me, for I faint before murderers. And Jeremiah predicted that there will be a horrible time when Israel will cry out to God for deliverance. And then Micah wrote, writhe in labor to give birth, daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. For now you go out of the city, dwell in the field, go to Babylon. There you will be rescued, since there the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. Clearly, sign in heaven has to do with Israel. There have been many hard, laborious years of satanic attack and struggle for Israel. There have been many years of national persecution. Things will become very intense for Israel in her worst labor pains ever. But that son will be born and will come, and all are seeing this sign in the sky. So this first sign is a sign concerning national Israel. But then we see, secondly, the persecutor of this woman. And we see that in beginning at verse 3. It says this, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems." So this pronoun, another, means another of the same kind of sign appeared. Again, we believe these signs will be visible. And when John uses the another of the same kind pronoun, we think this is another sign connected to Israel. So there is another sign in heaven connected to Israel, just as the first sign was connected to Israel. The sign that appears is a sign of a great red dragon. There are times in the Old Testament which this monster-type language is used of Israel's enemies. And this dragon is described as a great red dragon. We're not left to guess who this is, because he's identified in verse 9 as Satan. He's called great because of the size and intensity of what he will do at this point in the tribulation. So you see he's red, no doubt a color at that point. Like these murderers out for blood. He's out to destroy people. This is the life of Satan. It's death-oriented. Murder, suicide, abortion. There's no regard for human life. At this point in the tribulation, he's about to kill at a mega level. Got 7 heads. Learned from Revelation 17 that the 7 heads are 7 major political world powers controlled directly by Satan. It cannot be a mere coincidence that the Bible, they're told, 7 empires that have been permitted by God to dominate Israel: Egypt, Syria, Babylonia, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and that final power yet to come, which will revive the Roman Empire. We learn here is that the real leader or head of these powers that dominate Israel is Satan. He also has 10 horns. The 10 horns are 10 world leaders who will give their allegiance to Satan in the final division of the Roman Empire in their war against Israel and God. Daniel saw exactly the same thing. "After this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, and had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and had 10 horns. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings will arise, another will rise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings." Daniel 7:7-24. And Satan will empower these leaders during the tribulation to become powerful world leaders under the control of the Antichrist. It's exactly what these 10 horns represent. And then they have 10 diadems. And there's a question that when we read about 7 diadems on his head, that he has royal power and authority over 7 major powers of the world. These powers will be under his control. And so Satan, who's a powerful angelic being, does have authority and power. In fact, there are 7 continents in the world, that he's ruling the world. And during the tribulation, as part of the worldwide judgment, God will permit Satan to be the royal power for a short time. He will use his power to destroy Israel and anything connected to God. And then we see something else in verse 4. "His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it." So he controls one third of the angels. God wants his people to know that Satan controls a third of the angels, which means he does not control two thirds of the angels. And we remember from Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 that One-third of the angels defected with Satan when he led his revolt against God. So we believe this came when God said he would create man in his image. And so we see that the fifth day of creation, this happened. And apparently it's a one-time decision that angels could make. An angel could decide to stay with God or go with Satan. And we know from Daniel's account that fallen angels or fallen stars from heaven fall the earth and target Israel. And he has a specific objective, is to destroy Jesus Christ, anything connected to Jesus Christ. As soon as Jesus Christ was born, Satan used his angelic force to try to kill that baby. Herod slaughtered babies in an attempt to kill him. Satan's forces have been out to kill anything connected to God on the earth. Started by killing Abel when he offered the acceptable sacrifice to God. And Satan tried to pollute the Jewish line by producing Ishmael instead of Isaac. Then Satan tried to destroy Israel by killing all Israeli babies in Egypt. And when Jesus Christ was finally born, Satan tried to kill him. So this is the pattern. And we see point number three, the progeny of the woman here. He's going to fail. Look at verse 5. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. So Satan can't beat God. He plans to destroy Jesus Christ and Israel to make it so that they would never succeed. But protection, point number 4, the protection of this woman shows up here. And we see that in verse 6. It says this, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. And so it's important for it proves that even though Satan will try to rid the earth of the Jews, he will not succeed. Notice the same number appears again in verse 14 and is identified as time, times, and a half of time. It's 1 year time plus 2 years times plus 1/2 year, so 3.5 years. And exactly the same time frame, Daniel gives this. For 3.5 years, Satan will have authority over the world like he's never had it before. And he will try to eliminate Israel. But he's not going to succeed. He's going to get away. And many talk about interpretations for this. Many Jews will literally flee to Jerusalem and go into their literal wilderness and mountain areas where she will be literally protected. And many Jews will literally flee Israel and go into Gentile nations who will protect her. The thing that will show everyone the satanic time is going to hit will be these two signs. And these two signs signal a major turning point in the tribulation, and people will clearly see them in heaven.